Thank you, Matt. Good morning. Got a question for you to think about. Who has encouraged you to live for Christ? Who has encouraged you to persevere with Jesus when things are tough? Who has encouraged you to step out for Jesus when you are afraid? Close your eyes if you like. Can you think of anyone? See, if I close my eyes, I can actually picture different people, different ages, different personalities, who've really encouraged me greatly. Different roles, different jobs they're in, but most of them were older than me, but not all. Then I think, what did they have in common? They all encouraged me to live for Christ by the way they talk, and they all encouraged me to live for Christ by the way they walk, by the way they live their lives. They love people, and as they talk about Jesus, and they walk the talk. Today we're looking at one of the great encouragers of the Bible. His parents named him Joseph, but he was such an encourager that he was known as Barnabas, the son of encouragement. As Matt mentioned, as the church, we've been reading through 100 key passages of the Bible. This week we're looking at Acts and the times of the journeys of Paul, but it's not just about him. As we look at the growth and movement of the early church, we see God working through a number of people. Early in Acts, you especially see God working through Peter, the impulsive leader. And we can all identify a bit with some of Peter's struggles and some of his contribution, but if you're a steady person, let's be honest, we know we're never going to be a Peter. Then in the second half of Acts, the most obvious person you see there is Paul. Paul is the focused apostle. Great goal of seeing people won for Christ, drives everything. And we could all identify with some of Paul's struggles and some of his contributions, but many find Paul a bit intense. Sound familiar? And a lot of people know, I'll never be a Paul. But woven through Acts and the letters, coming up surprisingly often, we also see the contributions of Barnabas. Barnabas is undeniably a hero of the early church. And I'm actually convinced that every single person here in Christ's power has the potential to be a Barnabas. One of the reasons I'm excited about the potential of this church is because I see so many potential Barnabases. The passages on Barnabas are scattered across the New Testament. So instead of focusing on one passage this morning, I'm going to look at the legacy of Barnabas briefly, then more time on the life of Barnabas, and finally, how to be a Barnabas. Firstly, the legacy of Barnabas. You know how much we got recorded of Barnabas' teaching? Nothing. Barnabas seems to have been happy not to have been the centre of attention. But Barnabas' legacy is amazing. I'm going to tell you three things that affect us right here in this church at the moment. Firstly, it is because God worked through Barnabas, it's the way he chose to work, that we're going to be able to put on the Mark drama to tell people about Jesus. Because the Mark drama is the account of Jesus' life recorded by, guess? Mark, okay. Now, before Mark wrote the account of Jesus' life, what we call his gospel, he'd gone through a period of failure. He'd piked on a mission team. And after which some people said, hey, Mark's not up to ministry anymore. When Mark was in crisis, it was Barnabas who stepped in and encouraged him. Barnabas didn't just speak to him. Barnabas risked relationships for Mark. Barnabas put himself out for Mark. After the crisis, Barnabas continued to encourage Mark and work with Mark. And one of the fruits God brought from that is Mark's gospel, and hence our opportunity to put on the Mark drama. That's one legacy we've got here. Another legacy we're enjoying here from the way God worked through Barnabas is a huge chunk of our Bibles. nearly 30% of our New Testament and the spread of the gospel across into Europe and around the whole Roman world. Because God worked through Barnabas to enable the Apostle Paul to do his work. Back when Paul, in the section Matt read, when Paul was rejected early in his ministry, Barnabas was the one who stepped in and encouraged Paul. Barnabas risked relationships for Paul. Barnabas put himself out for Paul. And after the crisis, Barnabas continued to encourage Paul and work with Paul. A third way God worked through Barnabas to bless our church here at Margaret River Baptist is that we are a Gentile church. Okay, we're not Jews. Okay, Gentile just means non-Jews. Most of us here aren't Jews. If you are a Jew, welcome here. It is a blessing to have you among us, brother or sister. But most of us, we trace our roots back to the first Gentile church. The first establishment of the Gentile church, in fact, the acceptance of the Gentile church, was the church which Barnabas helped establish and encourage, and Barnabas argued for their full acceptance. I could go on with other examples, but do you get the picture? God used Barnabas, the son of encouragement, to leave a massive legacy in the kingdom of God. And I'm convinced that there are many Barnabases and potential Barnabases sitting here today, and I find that exciting. That's the legacy of Barnabas. Secondly, the life of Barnabas. Now, if we can put the slide up there. As we look at this, what I'm going to run through now, I need you to remember something, okay? Acts is written in an action-packed style, but what happens over decades and decades. It doesn't all happen in 1 month or 1 year. So if you're thinking, this sounds nothing at all like my life when he moves about different places, sometimes he's moving faster than you. Sometimes it's just that it's all compressed down. If you wrote your life in this number of words, it would sound very different too, and just highlighted the crises. So the life of Barnabas. Barnabas was born in Cyprus. So, okay, this is the Mediterranean. Okay, you get, you know, that's Italy. Oh, I've got to turn it on first, don't I? So there's Italy. You know, that's Palestine down there, Israel down there, what we now call Turkey, and Cyprus is there, okay? So Barnabas was born in Cyprus. We know almost nothing about his early life, except that Barnabas was a Levite, a Jew, which means he was a Jew from the priestly tribe. So Barnabas would have especially learned about ritual purity, about avoiding unnecessary contact with unclean Gentiles. He would have learned about giving 10% of your income, not 9%, not 11%, but 10%. He would have learned about all the Jewish law. That's what we can guess from his early life. Beyond that, we don't know much about him. When we first meet Barnabas, if we can go to the next slide. So we're going to zoom into this section here. So go to the next slide. Thanks. Yep. So that's Cyprus. When we first meet Barnabas, he's down here in Jerusalem. Okay. And at this stage, Barnabas has been living down here long enough to have become a landowner. So even though he's known as from Cyprus, he's been in Jerusalem long enough. Which is one of the things makes us guess he's probably a bit older than some of the other leaders of the early church. And the first reference we get to Barnabas is in Acts chapter 4. You're welcome to follow along with me as I fly through lots of passages, but I'm not going to necessarily stop for you to find the page each time. It's on Acts chapter 4. You could, if you want to watch the page number for the first, no. Acts chapter 4, verse 36 and 37. Okay. So we read there that Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, as we said, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. What an awesome name. Barnabas, son of encouragement. Sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. Barnabas isn't giving 10% like he learned growing up. Barnabas sold his assets and gave all the money away. That's radical generosity for Jesus. Okay, that's the first time we meet Barnabas. The next time we read is over in Acts 9. The passage which Matt read, where this young tearaway Pharisee called Saul has been leading the persecution against the early church in Jerusalem, and Barnabas probably knew people who Saul had arrested. Almost certainly. And then later on, as Saul was on his way down from Jerusalem to Damascus and he met Jesus, as we read there, and he was transformed. And sometime later, he returned back to Jerusalem down there. Okay, and so we read in verse 26. When he gets there, sorry, I've got to turn to the right chapter myself, Acts 9. When Saul came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing he was really a disciple. Can you blame them? Saul had attacked them and their friends. So they were scared of Saul. None of them would listen to him. They didn't really see Saul as a real person, it seems. But Barnabas saw Saul as a real person. Barnabas listened to Saul. Barnabas saw how Saul had been changed by Jesus and listened to his story. So yeah, he should be accepted by the apostles. And then what does Barnabas do? Does he go, okay, yeah, I think you've got a good account there. Go off and tell the apostles that you'll be fine. No. Verse 27, Barnabas took Saul and brought him to the apostles. And Barnabas told them how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord and that the Lord had spoken to him. And how in Damascus and he'd preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. And Barnabas risks his own reputation to present Saul's case. The next time we meet Barnabas is over in chapter 11. As the early Christians were persecuted, some scattered, telling people about Jesus. You know, so they start off down here and they were a bit reluctant to get out and tell people like Jesus had commissioned them to, and then a bit of persecution came, so they scattered, and some of them even got scattered as far up north as Antioch and further around still. And so up there in Antioch, some non-Jews, some Gentiles believed, and so they started, the first Gentile church started. And back down in Jerusalem, the apostles hear of this and they go, oh, so how are they going? Is that okay? And they send somebody up to see how they're going and also to encourage them. And who do they send? Barnabas. We sort of go, oh, yeah, that's nice. This means Barnabas is uprooting his life to encourage others to follow Jesus. Don't just take this for granted. Barnabas walks the talk, and so we read that as the news reached the ears of the church in Jerusalem, they sent Barnabas to Antioch. Then when he arrived and saw the evidence of the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Now, at this point, I'm aware that I have told you that everybody can be a Barnabas. And I'm also aware that some of you will be hearing this and go, hold it, Barnabas is a Bible teacher. I am no Bible scholar. That is not me. I had an interesting conversation last month with Rosemary Thorburn, the lady coming down to do the Mark drama. She knew me 20, 25 years ago. And she told me that I'd once said that I couldn't go meeting with people around the Bible because I didn't know enough about the Bible unless I did heaps of prep. So she was encouraging me to, a group of us, to develop this habit where you meet regularly with one other Christian and you open up the Bible, read a bit, and you chat and you pray. And I said, Rosemary, I can't do that. I'm not a Bible scholar. I'd need to spend 2 hours in preparation to know the Bible well enough to read with them. And Rosemary goes, no, you don't need any preparation. Spend the time meeting with two other people if you've got the extra 2 hours. The Bible is your teacher. You open the Bible together. Come under the Word and, you know, just read through start Mark or Acts or Galatians. Just read gradually through a section of the Bible together when you're there. The Bible's the teacher. It was a really interesting discussion because you know how much memory I had of that argument? None at all. I'd completely forgotten. But I know one thing. Rosemary was right. And the next year I started doing that. One of the guys who that was inflicted on was Matt Wallace. And I believe we were both encouraged. He doesn't seem to have ruined the relationship. And so a question for you then. Could you meet with a friend on a regular basis? Read the Bible, chat and pray. Could God use you to be a Barnabas in this way? Now, as we think about things, we are all different and we all have different gifts and skills, and Barnabas was acutely aware of this. As Barnabas was encouraging the church in Antioch, he realised that there were things they'd benefit from that he couldn't give them. In fact, he realised that there were things that they'd really benefit from that Paul would be much better at doing for them than he was. But he didn't go, down on himself, I can't do what Paul can do, or down on himself that he can't give him everything. In fact, what he did, I'm sure he prayed it and things, but he realised, hey, there's an opportunity, I could help connect people, help others. And so Barnabas travelled up to Tarsus, where he knew Saul was, and encouraged Saul to come down and join him at Antioch, which Saul did. And a few chapters further on, the church in Antioch is strong and growing with a healthy leadership team. And then we read at the start of Acts 13 that they are convicted by the Spirit. I'll read the first three verses. In the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manion, who'd been brought up in with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work for which I have called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and set off. So Barnabas and Saul set out to tell more people about Jesus. By the way, you do notice that this church is so passionate about sharing Christ with people that they give away half their leadership team. So Barnabas and Saul set out to tell people about Jesus. And where do they set out for? Says that sailed from there to Cyprus, end of verse 4. Has Cyprus been mentioned anywhere earlier in Acts? Yeah? Who's from Cyprus? Barnabas. So they don't start out by heading out to places where they don't know anyone. They do that later on. Barnabas starts by heading back to his old hometown, back to people who've known him since childhood. What do you find more scary? Talking about Jesus with people who you've known for a long time? Or talking about Jesus with complete strangers? We're all different. I have no idea which one of them Barnabas found more scary. But I do know that Barnabas took the message about Jesus to both. He didn't stop because he found one group harder than the other. And I reckon it must have been encouraging for Saul and the rest of the team seeing Barnabas take those risks. And speaking of Saul and the rest of the mission team, at this point in the book of Acts, there's an interesting change in the way Barnabas and Saul are talked about. So one thing I'd noticed before, I think I noticed this when I was a kid, was that up to this point, Saul is referred to as Saul, and from this time on he's referred to as Paul. So, but what I hadn't noticed before is that, before this last week or so, is that up to this point it's been Barnabas and Saul. So Barnabas is in the lead and Saul's the support person. From this point on, it is Paul and Barnabas. Paul takes the lead role and Barnabas steps back to give more support. Paul does much more of the speaking from this point on. Barnabas doesn't go off in a huff about not getting the attention. Actually, I get the impression Barnabas is quite happy being the encourager in the supporting role, encouraging Paul as he steps forward more and more. And they do lots of great work this way. Paul is the main speaker, Barnabas is the encourager, rock and support. And over the years, they travel to a lot of the regions across the top of this map here. Over a period of a couple of years, so it's not like they're on a Kentucky whistle-stop tour. They're spending time and investing in people. And eventually, they return back to Antioch. But then a controversy arises. There's some of it's miscommunication between Jerusalem and Antioch, but then this all comes to a head because over whether Gentile Christians need to follow the Jewish law. And a big meeting's called in Jerusalem, and called to the council. And so Paul and Barnabas go down to this meeting in Jerusalem. It's interesting, when they get there, Barnabas is mentioned first again. It seems that even though he's happy being the support person, when he's down in a place where his longer time in the faith, where his older age is respected. He's happy to step forward again to serve others. And Barnabas argues for full acceptance of the Gentile Christians, which wasn't decided before he started to speak. And the council agrees. And that's not the only controversy Barnabas faced. I want to, if you read over in from Acts 15, verse 36 I'm reading from. So, sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us go back and visit the brothers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they're doing." Now, Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark. So this is Mark, who wrote Mark's gospel, we believe. But Paul did not think it was wise to take him because he deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in their work. So when they'd gone travelling last time, they'd got up around here, and partway through the trip, Mark had just taken off. We're not told why. He'd piked on him. Barnabas and Saul had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, but Saul chose Silas and left, commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. He went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Barnabas, the encourager, has seen Mark change and grow, and he stands up to Paul on behalf of Mark. When Paul doesn't agree, Barnabas doesn't sit back and go, "Oh, Paul really should be supporting Mark." Barnabas takes Mark himself. That must have been so encouraging to Mark. And the relationship between Paul and Barnabas was not in good shape at this stage, is it? But you reckon Barnabas, the encourager, would just give up on the relationship with Paul? Just, that's it. No, Paul and Barnabas, we know, worked together later in Corinth. We also know they worked together at another meeting in Jerusalem, and they were together writing to the Christians in Colossae. And that's just the places we know about. Barnabas knew the encourager knew the importance of speaking the truth in love to those he encouraged, including speaking the hard truth in love. And Barnabas knew these people would speak the hard truth to him as well. Barnabas may be a hero. He is a hero and an example. But he's definitely not perfect. You know, so we're told in Galatians about a horrible failure by Barnabas. Remember, Barnabas was the great encourager of the Gentile church. The great champion of the Gentile church. But at one point, when he was pressured by his Jewish friends, even Barnabas snubbed the Gentiles. Oh, that must have hurt them. What a hypocrite. His actions were denying the gospel of salvation through faith and not through the law, a full acceptance through Jesus and not through what we do. But thankfully, Paul called out the problem. It doesn't take much imagination to think Barnabas must have felt shame and guilt as he recognised his sin. He repented. I'm also given the impression Barnabas was not crippled by his guilt, stopped by working for long. See, throughout his life, Barnabas shows trust in Jesus' forgiveness. Barnabas shows trust in Jesus' ability to change us when we repent. Barnabas applied Christ's grace and forgiveness to Saul when Saul wanted to join the apostle. Barnabas applied Christ's grace and forgiveness to Mark after Mark repented of his previous failure. Barnabas applied Christ's grace and forgiveness to Paul after their dispute. And I'm confident that Barnabas applied Christ's grace and forgiveness to himself after his failure. Barnabas is one of my heroes, my biggest heroes. And I'm confident that we can all be a Barnabas. Everyone has the potential to be an encourager like Barnabas. So how can you be a Barnabas? 3 points and a couple of short suggestions. Firstly, to be a Barnabas, take risks for Jesus. Barnabas took social risks for Jesus. He returned to his hometown to talk about Jesus. He talked to strangers about Jesus. That's taking a risk for Jesus. Barnabas took lifestyle risks for Jesus. He uprooted his life to move to Antioch and encourage the believers there. Barnabas took financial risks for Jesus. First thing we hear about Barnabas, he put his money where his mouth was. As I think about the different Barnabases who have encouraged me in my Christian walk, all of them take risks for Jesus. It looks different for the different people, the different roles. So the financial side, what it looks like for the stockbroker at a good year is quite different from what it looks like for the aged pensioner. But for all of them, their walk matches their talk. That's what gives their encouraging words such power. Matt, that's what gives your words such power. Matt Wallace takes risks for Jesus. If you know Matt, you know he loves people. He listens to them. Yet he seeks to talk to them about Jesus or invite them to hear about Jesus. He takes social risks for Jesus. Matt and Lynette take lifestyle risks. They move to Margaret River, partly to support the work of this church. Thank you. They take financial risks for Jesus. Matt runs his own business. He organises his business to give him time to invest in the church. At the moment, he's investing a pack at a time. You know, that's just one of the Barnabases I know. Every Barnabas I know is different. But they all take risks for Jesus. To be a Barnabas, take risks for Jesus. And secondly, to be a Barnabas, take risks for others. When the other disciples were scared of Saul, Barnabas took the risk to listen to Saul. Barnabas took risks for Saul. The encourager risked his own reputation with the apostles to introduce Saul and speak for him. Barnabas took a risk for the Gentile Christians. When he stood up in front of the Jewish leaders at the church council, even though Barnabas knew they might disagree with him, Barnabas took a risk for Mark. He risked a fight. He risked his relationship with Paul to speak for Mark and for Mark's repentance. You know, Paul wouldn't have been an easy person to confront, but that didn't stop Barnabas, because Barnabas, the encourager, took risks for others. Be a Barnabas. Take risks for others. It is risky, it is scary. For example, it is risky, it is scary to show an interest in other people's problems. They could say, I'll butt out, and they could easily say, you draw you in and you get sucked in. That, you know, that's what happened to poor Barnabas, didn't he? He kept getting involved in other people's problems. Will you take risks for others? Little practical example. If you haven't seen someone at church for a while, we could say, haven't seen Sally, because we don't have a Sally. If you haven't seen Sally at church for a while, I don't think we have a Sally. What could you do? You could ask the pastor about Sally, couldn't you? Or you could ask Sally about Sally. Just give her a call, a text, a message, whatever way works for you and for Sally. And just say, hey Sally, how are you going? Haven't seen you for a while, hope you're doing okay. Just let me know if you want to talk. It's risky, you don't have to respond. But it can be hugely encouraging. We can all be a Barnabas. It's good to ask, what would Barnabas do in this situation? Be a Barnabas, take a risk and speak about difficult issues and areas of disagreement. We are called not to be silent, but to speak the truth in love. To be a Barnabas is to be brave enough to speak up and tell the truth in love. To be a Barnabas is to go with a friend to help your friend speak the truth in love. We can all be a Barnabas. another area, final one, where Barnabas, we see him taking risks for others. Barnabas took risks for others by changing his role to support others. You know, when you change roles, it's always a risk. It'll go pear-shaped, isn't it? It's not easy to change roles. But Barnabas goes from leading Paul to supporting Paul. He's a humble encourager. When Mark needs encouragement of a supportive leader, Barnabas goes from this position I think he's comfortable in to stepping forward and taking the risks of leadership again. As I read the passages on Barnabas' servant attitude to leadership and willingness to humbly take the risks of different roles, I kept thinking of Peter and Dorothy Nichols and the many ways they serve around the church. Thank you. We can all be a Barnabas. To be an encourager like Barnabas. So what have we looked at? Firstly, take risks for Jesus. Secondly, take risks for others. Finally, to be an encourager like Barnabas, focus on God's grace and forgiveness. It is so critical. The only way Peter and Dorothy or Matt or you or me, Lynette, any of us can be a Barnabas is because we look to God's grace and forgiveness. I'll tell you one thing, we don't deserve it. Without that, we're not good enough. But Barnabas knew Jesus had won forgiveness for even the worst of sinners. Barnabas knew Jesus offers new life to anyone who will repent. Repent means to turn away from sin and turn to God. So when Barnabas saw Saul had repented of his persecution of the church and had turned to follow Jesus, Barnabas showed God's grace and forgiveness and introduced Saul to the apostles. When Mark repented of abandoning his previous mission and committed to serve, Barnabas showed God's grace and forgiveness and backed Mark all the way. When Barnabas repented of their, and Paul each repented of their feud, Barnabas and Paul shared God's grace and forgiveness and restored their relationship. And by the way, Mark's also recorded as working with Paul in the future as well. Thank God for Barnabas. When Barnabas repented of snubbing the Gentile believers, Barnabas enjoyed God's grace and forgiveness and served again. Barnabas was an encourager because Barnabas knew the encouragement of the forgiveness and acceptance and the secure future we have in Jesus Christ. It's the only reason why any of us sinners here can be encourages. It's because we know the forgiveness and acceptance won by Jesus. Because we have been encouraged by Jesus and his work for us. That is why we could all be encouragers. That is why we can all be a Barnabas. Because everyone who knows Jesus has that forgiveness and grace. And has been encouraged by his work for us. So we can be an encourager. Be a Barnabas. So a couple of suggestions to close. First one, pretty complicated one. Pray for the gift of encouragement. It's not complicated. Pray for the gift of encouragement. Second one, ask yourself, who could I be a Barnabas for? Who could you have a Barnabas relationship with? Recently I was reminded that it's healthy for whatever stage of life we're at to have three Barnabas relationships in our life. Barnabas has the stronger relationships he has there. Firstly, an encouraging relationship with a believer younger or newer to the faith than you. Secondly, an encouraging relationship with a brother or sister who's more a peer. And thirdly, an encouraging relationship with a brother or sister who is more mature in age or in the faith than you. And so when I was playing that, especially, you know, you can't dodge it when you're coming up to preach on Barnabas, can you? Made me think, well, one older, one peer, one younger, how am I going? And I spotted an area that I need to take action on. What about you? You could be a Barnabas. Who could you be a Barnabas for? you could be a Barnabas. So pray for the gift of encouragement.